This is the Community Forum, a public affairs presentation of the Montrose Broadcasting Corporation.
Welcome to the program. It is good to have you along. We're talking today about a pretty heavy topic, but one that needs to be addressed. It is Human Trafficking Awareness Month in January, and we have brought the mic to Transitions in Lewisburg. We're talking with Heather Schneider today, the health systems training specialist here, and she's kind of become the go-to on this topic. And Heather, you spread the word in the community, correct?
Yes, I do. I've been with Transitions for more than 21 years, and for about the last 15 to 16 years, I have been responsible for doing the majority of the outreach and education for human trafficking.
Let's first define human trafficking. I think for some people, they think it is something distant, something that doesn't affect their lives, or at least not their lives locally, but this is everywhere.
What is human trafficking? Well, we have to understand that human trafficking is not exactly in our communities the way we view them in the movies and Hollywood and TV. We have worked with a majority of individuals that have come to seek out our services that have been trafficked by one of their own family members. So it's familial trafficking is what we're dealing with. We're an agency that provides services to victims and survivors of domestic violence, sexual assault, human trafficking, stalking for Union, Snyder, and Northumberland counties in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. And when I first started to be involved in the education and outreach for human trafficking many years ago, I had the incorrect definition too. And I thought I was a pretty perceptive person, and that if something like trafficking was happening in my community, especially in the position that I am here in my job, that I would recognize the signs, see it, know it, and be able to understand how to assist victims. But by not having that correct definition, I wasn't looking for kids being trafficked out of their own homes. I wasn't looking for so-called boyfriends trafficking supposedly their girlfriends or their wives. And when we do get a clearer definition of just what human trafficking is, it's the commercial sexual exploitation for an individual in exchange for an item of value. And that item of value does not have to be cash. It does not have to be money. It can be drugs. It can be shelter. It can be clothing. It can be beer. It can be anything.
So while this does happen as far as someone being picked up and never seen again, this is the far bigger issue, especially in our area then.
Yes. And, you know, when we think of trafficking, and a lot of people still, even in the presentations that I do, will come to me and say, well, I always thought this was somebody just randomly being kidnapped, you know, because they've seen the movies and they've seen the TV shows. And what we have to get individuals to understand that what we see as trafficking for our work with clients, it's been family members that have been trafficking. It's been the individual that claims to be the boyfriend or a romantic partner. It's been individuals that are relatively close. It's been parents. It's been not just necessarily talking about the biological parent, but it's been foster parents, it's been step parents, it's been somebody in the role of an individual of authority in that child's life. A lot of these kids are runaways, and they're kind of jumping from the frying pan right into the fire. They're trying to get out of an abusive situation or a dysfunctional situation. And we're working with a lot of at-risk populations as well. We're dealing with kids that are struggling sometimes with their own sexuality through LGBTQ, and they're not being supported at home. So they feel that running away is the answer, but then they run away to somebody who claims to be supportive and turns out not to be.
Now, number-wise, has this been growing, or do you feel like you've seen the numbers grow because, you know, like you said, you've become more aware of what you're looking for?
Well, I think it is a combination of both. I think the numbers are growing. I think there are individuals that feel that this is a way, especially of working their way out of poverty, looking at situations like that. I also feel that there's more attention that is coming to light about human trafficking, especially in our rural little communities here in the Commonwealth. And I think people are really starting to get a picture of what they, if they see something suspicious, they should go ahead and report that. Trust your instincts. We work with teachers in schools who have suspicions that kids are being sexually exploited, and there's things that they can't quite put their finger on. They're seeing things, but they can't quite justify certain things. And maybe one or two of those warning signs aren't exactly trafficking, but maybe several of them together are throwing up enough suspicion to have a teacher report.
In my time in radio, this was not something I heard much about for the first 15, 20 years, but now... Is this Awareness Month newer, or has it been around?
It's been around for a while. I think there's more emphasis put on it now because of the urgency that we're seeing. More and more kids are... Child sex trafficking sort of sets the pace for kids to think there's no way out. I don't know about you, but even me, when I was growing up, the adults around me, when I was being left with a babysitter, they were like, this is a person that's older than you. You do what you're told. Listen to the adults around you. You know, I don't want you acting up. So kids are conditioned to do what adults tell them to do and listen to the adults and not to act up or act out. And when an adult comes into their life that they have a somewhat of a connection with, that's an authority figure that's telling them this is how it's going to be, they feel they have no choice. And then when they get into this situation, they're actually thinking that there's nobody going to believe them, that this is something that now has damaged them, and so therefore they're not worth anything, and they feel that this is all they're good for, and this is all they're ever going to do.
In the community in general, do you feel like there's more and more people now who are catching up to this?
I feel there's more people that are catching up to this. I feel that there's more people that are really understanding the true situations surrounding human trafficking. I also feel that there are a lot of untruths out there, especially on social media. Individuals want to share stories of suspicion, and that just kind of takes away from the efforts of the individuals that are working with actual victims. If you're too busy looking for white vans trolling through the neighborhood, you're too busy looking at, you know, these things where there's supposedly messages left on cars for traffickers to stalk their victims. These are things that I'm not saying they can't happen, but once they start to consume people's attention, the real victims are falling through the crack and people aren't looking for the actual, you know, real signs. And that's when you're around, especially have the opportunity to work around children, and you see children's behaviors change. You see an outgoing kid become very reserved and quiet and withdrawn. You hear a young girl talking about her older boyfriend and how he's taking her places and buying her things that, you know, normally she or her family would not be able to afford, really showing up with clothing that seems a little different than what she's been accustomed to wearing. See, you're witnessing the grooming process through all this. And I think once you really make that determination as to what's a true suspicious activity versus the social media myths and untruths, we're going to make a lot more progress.
Things spread so quickly now, true or not, it's kind of the good and the bad of social media, I guess.
Right. And there's been a lot of things on social media where I'll read where there's this situation in Texas where a woman made a post about being followed through a store, and these individuals seemed very shady, and she just knew they were traffickers, and she had her daughter with her, and she knew that felt her daughter was in danger, and had the store clerks involved and things like that. And then I read the same word for word article from supposedly a mother in Utah who had the same thing happen. And then word for word, exactly the same thing from a mother here in Pennsylvania that supposedly had that happen too. But the article, the wording is this was the same exact, accusing the same exact type of individuals, you know, in the same exact scenario. And it's like, okay, now you have to understand that this is a situation that's just drawing people's attention away from the truth of the matter.
So if you take nothing else away from this program today, not reposting nonsense that you haven't confirmed is top of the list.
Correct. And it's real easy to confirm. I mean, all you have to do is like Google some of these things. And in Grammarly, you highlight a paragraph of this and you go look for plagiarism. And all of a sudden, 16 articles popped up of the exact same thing that were posted in, you know, like 15 different states.
Yeah. If you tuned in late today, we're talking with Heather Schneider at Transitions about human trafficking. Human Trafficking Awareness Month is January. So we continue our conversation with her as we move on to some numbers. Do you have statistics as to, you know, how much is this going on here or right in our area?
The statistics are few and far between, unfortunately, because this is not a victimization that is initially identified. And what I mean by that is when we work with victims that come through our agency, they're coming through our agency as either a domestic violence victim or sexual assault. Now, we are also a comprehensive crime victim center, so we work with victims of all serious crimes. But very rarely do we get somebody that calls us up for services or is referred to us as initially a trafficking victim. That usually comes out later when we start to have conversations and these individuals are working with one of our counselors through the trauma that they've initially come to us for. So when we look at the statistics, a lot of the statistics that we have are statewide, which are reported through the National Human Trafficking Hotline, which is operated through Polaris. It's polarisproject.org. And you can get on that website and you can scroll through, and they have a lot of different tabs that you can click on, even one that talks about what's out there as a myth and what's out there as a truth. But when you look at the numbers, we started to kind of look at things. Now, I went 4 years back just to kind of to look at some things to see how the trend has been changing. And the 2018 report, which reports information from 2017, we had in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, it's considered commercial sex arrests by the numbers. So we had in our state 1,443 individuals arrested for selling sex, but we only had 447 arrested for buying. Now, stop me if I'm wrong, but I think that's a little lopsided. For every person buying or selling sex, you would think the number would be higher for those buying. But those were the numbers. And part of those numbers and part of that information included not only counties that we are in, which was Union County, had numbers for individuals in that statistical collection. Lycoming County had numbers, Columbia County. Of course, you have the big ones like Philadelphia County and Allegheny County, the Pittsburgh area. So we're seeing a trend of where bigger cities, bigger areas are funneling over into our counties as well. Then numbers changed a little bit. In 2018, we had 678 arrested for selling and 181 for buying. So still lopsided. In 2019, 401 for selling, 172 for buying. And in 2020, we only had 195 that were arrested for selling sex and 90 that were arrested for being the buyers. And there, we didn't have any numbers included in that in Union, Snyder, and Northumberland counties, but we still had Columbia County close to us and Lycoming County had an arrest. We had 3 arrests in Lycoming County for selling, none for buying. So we're still in a situation where we have to understand that these individuals that are being tricked and lured into this life through deception, through force, fraud, coercion, are doing what they're doing not because it's their own choice. They're being tricked, they're being lied to. We had one young woman told that her trafficker told her she could leave anytime she wanted, but her 10-year-old sister would take her place. We had another victim who thought that they would be able to exit the life, and her own life was threatened and her sister's life was threatened. So they're being manipulated, and then there's forced drug addiction. They're given drugs with the initial statement of how these drugs will help them cope with everything that they're going through. And then when they get addicted, that same individual withholds that drug, threatening withdrawal. So they're now in this situation where they feel that they're in too deep to get out, that there's nobody that's going to believe them. They've been tricked by someone claiming to care about them, love them, wanting to be with them, and then now all of a sudden find themselves in a situation of where they're expected to perform either labor or sex acts, and they're being exploited in that fashion. And when you're working with especially a child, a younger individual, they're really not trying to even process in their mind how to get out of this situation. They feel there's no way out. And so even some of the adults that we have talked to as survivors from being trafficked by family members or somebody that they thought was an authority figure in their life, they really never saw an end to this, and they really never thought that they were going to amount to anything or that they were worth anything worth saving.
And I've learned a lot today myself. How do you get this word out to the community? What sort of venues?
Well, the venues are, anybody that wants to take the time to listen to. I've put together a pretty comprehensive training. We've worked with businesses in the communities. We've worked with school districts. We've worked with colleges and universities. We've worked with law enforcement. We've had FBI agents come in and share information with us and worked closely with FBI to help when they've recovered a victim and they've reached out to us to provide services. As of lately, we've been working with real estate agents who, when you really think about that, these are agents that are in the homes, that are listing homes, that are maybe seeing things in the home or even seeing children's behaviors when they're in a home, showing it or listing it or, so we're working with all types of businesses and all types of professionals within the healthcare system. We work with nurses and we work with administration staff, and a lot of the partnerships that we have are really helping us to get the word out there. And then when people say, well, we need more information for my staff, or I need additional information for my doctor's offices, I need to find out some of the additional warning signs, or what do we do? And a lot of the trainings that we do for the medical professionals that I do, we're not trying to tell the medical professionals how to do their jobs and how to treat these individuals that are coming in with the injuries that they're coming in with and the trauma that they've suffered. But we're also explaining to them why these victims may react to them in a way that they're not used to having patients react. These individuals may seem at first to not want help. They may seem to feel that, if they open their mouth and share any bit of information about what's happening to them, that there's going to be serious consequences to either them or someone that they care very greatly about. So we really have to kind of be patient through all this and let them make the determination to reach out to us and build that trust, because they've trusted somebody once and look where it got them.
Is there somewhere folks can go to learn more about the topic that you would send them to?
You can definitely reach out to us for trainings. Absolutely. You can get online to PolarisProject.org and look through that. We also work very closely with the Commercial Sexual Exploitation Institute at Villanova University, and they put out an annual report, which is where the numbers came from for the counties, because they do a lot with victims and survivors to provide services and resources. So there's a lot of places out there. I would stay away from just the run-of-the-mill places, the generic, like little, I know there's a lot of places that are popping up that want to support victims, but sometimes when they're that small or they're that new, they don't have all the information yet that they need.
Heather Schneider has been our guest on the program today talking about Human Trafficking Awareness Month. She's the health systems training specialist here at Transitions in Lewisburg. Thanks for joining us, Heather.
Thank you for having me. I'm very grateful that we're able to share this information. And if anybody has any further questions, feel free to reach out to us. And our number is 1-800-850-7948. And we'll answer any questions anytime.
Thanks to you, the listener, for tuning in to this afternoon's WPGM Community Forum.
This has been a presentation of the Montrose Broadcasting Corporation. The views expressed on the Community Forum by our guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect those of the moderator, staff, or management of this station.